So we've been going through this series called The Word. Can you guys say The Word? The Word. We've been going through the series called The Word, and we've been taking some time and just talking about some of the different attributes of the Word of God. And so the first week we talked about how God's Word is God-breathed. It has divine origin, and it was spoken, and it is life, and there's life-giving power in the breath of God. We talked about that the first week. The second week we talked about how the Word is infallible. It's a firm ground for us to stand on, and how it is something that is that has provability and that's unchanging and that is eternal. That's what we talked about. So we said it's God-breathed. We said it's infallible. Then after that, we talked about how the Word of God is authoritative, and we use the passage of Scripture. I believe it's in Jeremiah that says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a mighty rock, like a mighty hammer that bashes the rock to pieces." And we talked about how it's authoritative and how it has power in its, just in its very presence. And then last week, Pastor Michael spoke about how Jesus is the Word and Jesus is the light. And so today, actually, what I want us to do real quick is, if we could put James chapter 3, verse 17 up on the, yes. It says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Can you guys say that with me? "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Can we say it one more time? "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." I'm going to say it one more time, okay? "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Okay, go ahead and take it off. All right, how many of you guys think you know it? Could have put it back up one more time. Anyone? So think of, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Let's put that to memory, okay? "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure." Are you guys thankful that the wisdom is pure? Man, it's peace-loving. Sometimes I like wrath-loving things, but it's peace-loving. And it's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. How many of you guys think you know it without looking at it? Give it another minute. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." We're going to put this in our hearts today. Are you ready? Anyone? Does anyone want to try it? Anyone? Look at it a couple more times. "With the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Who has a good memory? Anyone? You want to try? All right, take it off. Go ahead, Miguel. Uh-huh. Okay, put it back up there one more time, Liz. All right, let's read it together. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving." So P-P-C-S. So the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. I shouldn't have said that in church. "Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Do you look at that a couple more times, okay, Miguel? You got it? Okay, go ahead. Take it off real quick. Go ahead. P? Does anyone else want to try? Let's put up one more time for the crew, Liz. I'm going to read it one more time. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. All right. Randall, why don't you go ahead and try? Pretty close. All right, so I have a treat for you. Thank you for giving it a try, Randall. And Miguel, does anyone else want to give it a try? I have one last. So put it back up again real quick. Okay. Put it back up, Liz. Put it back up, Liz. Okay, look at it one more time. Got it? But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Okay? Now, you guys might not realize this right now, but what's happening is we're burying this in our hearts. We're committing this to memory, right? And so there's actually power in this. There's effectiveness in this. And so, do you feel good, Miguel? Okay, go ahead. Full of mercy. Sincere, yeah. Let's give him a hand. I got one more candy bar. Does anyone want to try? All right, Jeremiah. Okay, can you put it up there again real quick, Liz? There's a lot of words in there. You ready? All right, go ahead. Does anyone want to help him? Pure. Peace-loving, considerate, yeah, and good, uh-huh, yeah, good job, Jeremiah, I love it, there you go, all right, so what we're going to look at today is Psalms 119, verse 11. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God, I just pray that you speak to us this morning. Open our eyes to the things that you have for us. Open our hearts to the things that you have for us. God, I pray that your word will go out and do its work in us. In your holy name, amen. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so I really wanted to talk today a little bit about the benefit of hiding God's word in your heart, of memorizing the word, of meditating on the word. When I was just a young kid, there was this ministry that's still around called Bible Quizzing. And I loved the competition, but I was terrible at memorizing things. And so I remember my mom asked me if I wanted to be a part of it, and I kind of hemmed and hawed and whatever, and reluctantly I kind of joined, and I just loved, it turned into a love of mine. I loved memorizing scripture. And the way Bible quizzing works is they'd give you a book of the Bible and you'd study it, and then you'd have meets once a month where you compete against other churches, and they'd give you points and you'd buzz in, and they had just like local competition, they had regional competition, national competition. It was kind of a big deal. And so I got involved in Bible quizzing when I was young, and it was kind of interesting how I think I started it when I was in sixth grade, and if we fast forward to my first job, so I think I was maybe 16, and I was working my first job, and I was working at Shopko, which was kind of like a Target over in Minnesota. I think they went bankrupt. They aren't around anymore, but I worked in the lawn and garden department, and I remember working there, and as a homeschooler, I didn't have many social outlets, and work was like, oh my goodness, I'm around all these people outside of church and outside of home that that weren't followers of Jesus, right? They weren't Christians. And they invited me to go out to Perkins one night, and I went out to Perkins, and they had a bunch of questions, and we started talking about our faith, and I was thrown back. It was like the first time I kind of had to defend my faith, and it was weird because all of those verses that I had memorized when I was younger, years before, God used and brought to mind for me to share my faith with these kids, like several years later. And so I think there's this really important principle, the spiritual principle in our life. This very important thing that like with our spiritual maturity, when we go into the world where if we hide God's word in our heart, if we commit it to memory, there's something powerful that happens there. Do you agree with me? I don't even know if I can explain it sometimes, because it's weird. Like it's like when you hide it in your heart, when you bury it in your heart, some of these things that I thought I had long forgotten, and God had brought them back up later as I'm sharing my faith with someone. It's like this. It's like the Holy Spirit was reaching down into the depths of my heart and pulling these verses out that I had studied long before. You know, there's this passage of scripture that says that from the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. And I think sometimes the Spirit ministers and speaks to us and goes into our heart and pulls these things out when we need them. And so, so today we're going to talk about Psalms chapter 119, verse 11, where it says, I have hidden, and we're just going to take it kind of like phrase by phrase and talk about it a little bit, and then we'll close up, and I'll give you guys an opportunity again, if you want to try to quote the verse back to me. But it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the first phrase there is just, I have hidden. If you look at the Hebrew word here, it means to treasure or to store up securely. I think it really suggests intentionality. Like, if you can, when I put the verse up there, and you guys were reading it and trying to remember it, I was looking around, and some of you were closing your eyes and like trying to quote it, and some of you were staring intensely at it and trying to. But there's intentionality when we have to hide something, when you store something that you don't want to lose. A lot of times we hide things that are precious to us. People hide things for preparation. People hide things that are of great value. I talked about this on Wednesday night, but I met this guy once at the bank where I was talking to him about his money, and he said he had a bunch of money, and I was like, oh, cool, you know, maybe you should consider investing it. I talked to him a little bit, and he's like, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm like, rates have never been better. He's like, oh, awesome, let's do it. And he's like, yeah, I got $50,000 at home. I'm like, great. I'm like, at home? He's like, yeah, I actually buried them in jars in my backyard. And it's like, he's hiding things that are valuable to him. I met someone else who, they were telling me that they buried all of their cats in jars in their backyards. Like, well, that's kind of weird. I'm not sure if I would do that. But like a lot of times we hide things that are valuable to us. We hide things in preparation for this future. We hide things, and when you're hiding things, you're internalizing it. We hide things of value, important things to us. I have hidden. What does it say you've hidden? Your word in my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart. I was thinking about all the things that we commit to memory. A lot of things, right? I still remember my old phone number from back when I was a kid. So, maybe I don't. 507-378-2906. I still remember my, my old address. It was 30743 716th Avenue, Racine, Minnesota. I still remember the song. It was called Pigs Don't Live in Houses. Have you heard that song before? It was when I was in maybe ninth grade. It was a homeschool production of Peanut Butter Christmas. And I still remember the song. That's Do Not Look It Up. I still remember the song. So, like, these weird things that we commit to memory, that we look at, that we study. And the psalmist here says, I have hidden your word in my heart. This isn't some strange homeschool Christmas production. This isn't, you know, just ordinary language or lyrics that we're hiding there. This is the God-breathed, infallible, rock-bashing, fire-consuming, authoritative word of God. Right? It has power to convict the heart. It has power to transform the mind. It has power to guide us in all of our steps, strengthen our spirit. You know, sometimes I feel like, man, we carry around our Bibles and we carry around our phones and we ingest all this stuff all day long. We ingest social media. We ingest stuff on the TV, we ingest the news, all these different things that we're taking around with us. But he's speaking, he's like, I have hidden your word in my heart. Again, when I was looking around, there's an intentionality when we memorize things. We must hide and plant the word of God in the soil of our hearts. You're hiding, you're treasuring, you're storing up God's word in your hearts when you memorize it. And our hearts are so important, aren't they? Again, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when we talk about the heart, we aren't talking about the physical organ that's in your body, but we're talking about the core person of who you truly are. We're talking about your inner person. We're talking of the center of your mind and your will and your emotions and your desires. Your heart directs your life. And your heart can be a couple different things. Your heart can be deceptive. We read that in Scripture. Or your heart can be transformative. We can read that in Scripture too. It's the deepest part of you. It's who you really are. I've hidden your word in my heart. I've placed those things to memory in my heart. I know your precepts. I know your word. I've hidden my word in your heart that I might not sin. So, like, okay, so you know, if I do know the word, why should I do it? Why should I memorize Scripture? Why should I put it in my heart? Well, he kind of answers it in there. I've hidden my word so I do not sin against you. Really, to fight temptation. I think that God's word acts as a spiritual defense system for us. When we memorize it, it becomes our first response in moments of temptation and confusion and pressure. I was thinking about this, and when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and he'd been in the wilderness for 40 days, right? 40 days without eating. Can you guys imagine 40 days without eating? Man, I feel like I get around 2 o'clock at work and I start getting hangry. I start getting mad. My fuse starts getting there, but 40 days without eating. You can imagine him in the desert, 40 days without eating, depleted of nutrients, tired, alone, worn down by the heat and by the elements, right? He's in the wilderness. It's not like he's walking around in the Boca Raton, or he's in the wilderness, depleted. And the tempter, Satan, comes and tempts him. And how do you guys know it's in our weakest moments that Satan comes? It's in the moments where we're tired. It's the moments where we're discouraged. It's the moments where it's like oh my goodness. Like really, at this moment, you're going to tempt me with this, right? Here's Jesus, tired and depleted. And remember, he's fully God, but also fully human. Tempted in every way that we are, yet he remained sinless, right? So tired, alone, depleted, hangry, maybe, I don't know. Just out in the wilderness, and the tempter, Satan, comes to him, and he says, listen, Jesus. He's like, if you are hungry, appealing to his weakness, if you're hungry, just tell these stones to become bread. And then he takes him on top of the temple, and he says, you know what? If you're truly God, throw yourself down from here, and the angels will rescue you before you hit your head against the stone. And really, what he was saying is kind of interesting. Is he was telling him that if you make a public display of, like, if you throw yourself off the temple and all these people are all around and they see that you're saved by God, like, you could circumvent the cross, right? You don't have to go through the suffering. You don't have to go through the pain. Just throw yourself off from the temple. And it'll be a public display of God's power. And, you know, you've already gone through enough. You've already been suffering for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. You're depleted. You're alone. You're, just throw yourself off. It'll be fine. And then, after that, he takes him on a very high mountain. And he shows him all of the splendors of the world, all the kingdoms. Could you imagine that from a mountain, being able to see all these things? He shows him everything, all the kingdoms, all the powers, everything. And he said, listen, if you just bow down and worship me, this will all be yours. I'll give it all to you. Don't have to worry about the cross. Don't have to worry about being hungry, tempting him during his time of weakness. But it's interesting because when you see the way that Jesus responds to him, he responds to him every single time in his moment of temptation with Scripture. He responds to him every time with Scripture. He said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He says, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It's written, it's written, it's written, it's written. Think, man, that's kind of interesting. Scripture is why memorize Scripture? It is a way for us to fight temptation, right? And also think about this too. I was thinking about this as well this week. Man, we are. I agree with the Apostle Paul when he said that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms. You know, you turn on the news and you can see that there are some physical wars going on right now around the globe, but this is a spiritual, make no doubt about it, this is a spiritual battle that's happening. There's a battle right now between good and evil, light and darkness. Like, there's some crazy things that are happening right now. And Paul, seeing that, just a couple thousand years ago, he was writing the church, and he's like, hey, you guys need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the full armor. Can you guys say full armor?
Full armor.
Full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, when he starts talking, he starts mentioning all the different spiritual things, and he's like, take the belt of truth. Wrap it around your waist. He's like, take the belt of truth. Take up the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Put on the helmet of salvation. Now imagine if we were just to stop right there. You'd have a helmet, you'd have a shield, you'd have a belt, you'd have the breastplate of righteousness, you'd have some shoes. Now, you might be able to last a little while out on the battlefield, but if you didn't have some type of sword or some type of weapon, man, you're not going to last very long, right? Like, you might just be out there blocking arrows and trying to tackle people and put them in chokeholds. But if someone has a sword, it's going to be eventually, inevitably, you're going to lose the spiritual battle. You're going to lose the battle. The same thing is true with the Word of God. Man, if we don't commit it to our hearts, if we don't memorize it, if we don't know its precepts, if we don't study it, if we don't check it out, man, there's a point where we're going to lose the spiritual battles that we're in. God has given us his word for a very specific purpose. It helps us fight temptation. And it helps to guide our decisions when we memorize it. In Psalms chapter 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Romans chapter 12, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It guides our decisions. Did you know that the word gives moral clarity for things? It talks about loving our neighbor. It talks about doing good to others. It talks about not killing and not committing adultery. It talks about not using the Lord's name. It gives moral clarity. Did you know that the word gives wisdom for life? In the book of Proverbs, in the book of James, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's all filled with practical wisdom for integrity, for speech, for money, for relationships. The Bible helps shape our priorities. It's character forming through the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And it guides our life. It guides our decisions. I've heard people say, man, I just don't know what the Lord wants for my life. When was the last time you opened your Bibles? And maybe try this. Open your Bible and pray, God, speak to me through your word today. Holy Spirit, speak to me today and open my eyes to your truth. God's word is stored in our minds. It helps you make wise and godly decisions, even when you don't have your Bible in hand. And the Holy Spirit uses things that we committed to memory, that we meditated on. He uses those things and he pulls them out of our heart in real time when we need them, at just the right time. We have to be intentional. We have to be purposeful in our memorizing because it's not always easy. But when we take those things and we hide them, treasure them, store them in your hearts, God will not let his word return void. It'll help you during your time of temptation. It'll guide you in times of confusion. It's God's breath. It's God's authoritative, infallible, sword-slashing, rock-bashing, fire-consuming breath that we're storing in our hearts. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's mighty. It's powerful. It's It's crazy, because like I said, you can hide it and not even realize it's there, and then the Lord brings it forth through His Spirit. Man, when was the last time that we took time to commit God's Word into our hearts? When was the last time we took time to commit God's Word to our hearts? My challenge for you today is to open your Bibles, take some time, study it, meditate it, memorize some of it, and then ask God to use you for the glory of His kingdom and see what happens. God, today we come before You knowing that we are nothing without You. God, we come before You today knowing that Your Word is powerful, Your Word is true, Your Word is authoritative, Your Word is God-breathed, Your Word is infallible, Your Word is mighty and powerful. And today, God, we know that we have Your Word on our phones. We have Your Word on our bookshelves at our home, on our nightstands at our home. And today, God, I pray that You'll just convict us a little bit, and that You'll prod us a little bit, and that You will encourage us to open our Bibles, to open our phones, and to study Your Word. May You speak to us. May You minister to us, God, as we continue to sing and worship You this morning. May You just continue to work on our hearts. In Your holy name.